Going on, everybody. Welcome to Locked On Pirates. This is your host, Ethan Smith, coming at you today on Tuesday, October 20th of 2020. How is everybody doing today? Good news again. We have a special guest coming on the podcast tomorrow on Wednesday. Actually, a couple special guests coming tomorrow on Wednesday, and then another special guest coming on Thursday, as I've been trying to get you guys some very fun people to come on the podcast and talk all things Pittsburgh Pirates baseball. And today's episode is also brought to you by Built Bar. Today's episode is going to, again, be brought to you by Built Bar. We love Built Bar. They've been sponsoring a lot of the episodes. Go to BuiltBar.com and use promo code LOCKEDON. That's LOCKEDON in all caps. And you'll get 20% off of your next order. It was at 10, now is it 20. So you guys get a hold of that. I have actually personally tried Built Bar now after starting this podcast, and I am in absolute love with it. I have been loving it. One of my favorite flavors is the strawberry flavor that they had for breast cancer awareness, as it is Breast Cancer Awareness Month. So you guys go check out Built Bar for me. On the podcast today, we are going to highlight which players in the Pittsburgh Pirates organization that are Rule 5 eligible should be staying or should be going. Should I stay or should I go? We all love that song. Also, after that, we are going to highlight the 2020 Tampa Bay Rays versus Los Angeles Dodgers World Series. Two top seeds go at it in Arlington, Texas at Globe Life Park. Should be an interesting series, guys. We can see a bunch of former Pirates play in that one. So, going to the Rule 5 draft, we are going to kick things off with two catchers. Starting off, we're going to start with Christian Kelly, the 11th round draft selection in 2015 by the Pittsburgh Pirates. After hitting 179 last season in AAA Indianapolis, Kelly's return, not very likely, guys. The Pirates already have Luke Miley and Jacob Stallings and will likely snag another veteran catcher in free agency, making Kelly's departure even more likely. It also doesn't help that Christian Kelly is already 27 as well, meaning he will not garner much attention from other clubs unless they desperately need that catching depth. If some of you don't know how the Rule 5 draft works, by the way, whenever you get that player from the Rule 5 draft, they must stay on your major league roster for at least a season. So grabbing a guy who hit 179 in AAA baseball, who's also already 27 and also hasn't really shown a lot of promise moving forward, probably not going to be the greatest thing for another club moving forward. Along with him, we have catcher Arden Papst, 2016 selection in the 2016 selection in the 16th round by the Pittsburgh Pirates. He hit 264 in 2018, but 192 in 2019 in the minors. So much like Christian Kelly, as bad as not showing flashes of MLB potential. One thing about Papst, though, is he does have a much better bat in terms of being able to produce walks. He does do pretty okay. He probably won't find a roster spot, though, in Pittsburgh either, but the fact that he is 25 and can still show growth means that another team could target him, but I would not expect him to be a Pittsburgh Pirate after the Rule 5 draft. He could come back in a more of just a AAA role or even a third catcher role, let's say Jacob Stallings or Luke Miley gets injured, but I would not expect him to stay very long. Moving on from him, we go to third baseman Hunter Owen. He was the 25th round pick by the Pittsburgh Pirates in 2016. Hunter Owen reminds me a lot of Philip Evans and Cole Tucker. He's a versatile player who has experience playing the hot corner, first base, both left and right field, and last year also caught 61 games as well. He hit 295 last season as well, so his versatility along with his bat makes him an interesting case for the 40-man roster. And on a former podcast a couple weeks ago, we did talk about if Colin Moran would move to first base, so having a good guy behind Ke'Bryan Hayes and Philip Evans may be pretty good, as well as having another versatile player if the Pirates choose to move on from Adam Frazier. I would say keep Hunter Owen here just because, again, having Hayes, Philip Evans, and Owen as options at third base would be helpful for the Pirates. Yes, Hunter Owen is already 27, but he can still make a slight impact. Maybe just be that kind of guy that can stay on the bench behind Hayes and Evans just in case they need him or if they need him in an emergency role. Is he going to make a huge impact? No. Can he make a huge impact? We never know. Baseball's a really weird sport. Moving on to the pitchers now. We have two pitchers before we move forward in the podcast. Cam Vo, 3.5 ERA in the minors with some decent stuff. He does have a pretty good fastball and a pretty good slider. His strikeout rate is concerning, though. He sits only at 20.6%, but the Pirates could also use some young relief pitching, and he could fit that role perfectly. Do they keep him? I would say probably not, just because they can look elsewhere in the organization for pitching. But there's also a very slight chance that they do keep him. I would say get rid of him here, though. And, I mean, also with arbitration making a big impact this season on the Pirates as well, and we talked about that yesterday, it's going to be very interesting to see what the Pittsburgh Pirates choose to do here with some of their young pitching and some of their guys that are in the organization. Santiago Flores, though, I think is going to be the biggest considerable case. He's the 19th ranked prospect in the Pirates organization as a pitcher. A 13.3 walk rate and a 3.46 ERA is pretty good, but he has not even seen single-A baseball yet, so that's pretty concerning. Even though he's already 20, that means he's been in the organization for at least a year or two. Other teams will likely not take a guy like that just because, yeah, he might be a highly touted prospect, but giving a 20-year-old a 40-man roster spot who hasn't even seen single-A baseball yet is going to be very, very hard. I would see a team that's rebuilding, like maybe Baltimore or Detroit, maybe taking a shot at him if the Pirates decide not to keep him. He definitely probably will come back, though, even if he's not chosen right away to be on the 40-man roster. But, again, you're 20 years old. You haven't seen really too much action outside of rookie ball. And it'll be very interesting to see what he does in the department of having growth moving forward. So with that, guys, we're going to go ahead and take a quick break. Again, this episode is brought to you by Built Bar. You can get 20% off if you check out Built Bar for me. And we'll be right back. And we are back, guys. Hope everybody's having a great Tuesday. I am actually at work recording this right now, so if you guys say I don't care about you, you're painfully wrong. The Rays and Dodgers will be kicking off their World Series tonight on Tuesday on Fox at 8 o'clock. It's going to be a pretty interesting series, and as Pirates fans, we already know that the Tampa Bay Rays are basically just a bunch of Pirates castaways in Charlie Morton, Austin Meadows, and Tyler Glasnow. We all know the 2020 season was probably the strangest to date, like it was in a lot of sports, or basketball especially, having to stop their season in March and restart in July at Disney World. Baseball not even knowing it was going to play at one point with Rob Manfred. Football's already had their COVID issues. Collegiate football's had their COVID issues. Hockey had to play just in Canada. But it is very interesting that both top seeds didn't make the World Series after such a strange year. And it was very close that neither of them wasn't going to. The Rays were up 3-0 on the Astros, nearly blew it. Dodgers down 3-1 on Atlanta. Atlanta did an Atlanta thing and blew a 3-1 lead. Think most Atlanta fans already know what it's like to choke things away like that. Sorry if there's any Atlanta fans listening, because I do know I'm recording in Georgia. But this should be an interesting series. And as I mentioned before, former Pirates Tyler Glasnow, Charlie Morton, and Austin Meadows will compete for the Rays, with Glasnow starting tonight in Game 1 against ace Clayton Kershaw. The last time we saw Clayton Kershaw, he kind of got hit a little bit with the playoff Kershaw bug, much like I'm trying to compare him to somebody that's had pretty bad postseasons. But Kershaw is starting tonight at Game 1. I think he's going to have a pretty good solid outing against Glasnow. I would really expect Game 1 to be a pretty close game, 5-4, 6-5, something like that, just because both teams have really good hitting and Randy Alcantara. Alcantara, wrong guy, but I call him Randy just because I can't pronounce his last name. The Dodgers have Mookie Betts, Cody Bellinger, Justin Turner. It's going to be a very interesting series to see who basically hits more home runs. I think that's what this series is going to come down to. Also, we're on a very big Moneyball vibe. The Dodgers have a considerably larger payroll than the Rays. I believe it's almost $100 million more, if I'm not mistaken. But the two teams pose very big similarities in strong pitching staffs and power up and down the lineup. This is also going to be the first series since 1944 that will occur in a singular site. I believe the reason it did in 1944 was because of one of the World Wars. But it's going to be very interesting to see, with only having 25% of the capacity, likely going to be mostly Dodgers fans, because Dodgers fans are going to definitely travel better than Rays fans. I don't think it'll make too much of a considerable difference, but it could. As for the Rays, they won their first AL East Division title since 2010. So they are pretty freshly new to the World Series again, while the Dodgers will be in their third World Series in the last four seasons and have basically dominated the NL West for some time now. President of Baseball Operations Andrew Friedman will square off against protege and GM Eric Neider, as Friedman has his fingerprints all over that Rays organization. He was a big part of them winning that AL East Division title in 2010 and teaching Neander almost everything he knows about running a baseball organization. We all know that Neander is a big trading GM, as we saw when he traded Chris Archer to the Pirates for Glasnow and Meadows, and we see who won that trade. Obviously, the Pirates didn't. The Rays definitely won that trade, as Archer probably will not be a Pirate after 2020. And if I had to make a prediction in this series, I'd really say it's probably going to be Dodgers in 6 or 7. I would say lean closer to 6, mainly due to just the fact that Dodgers have more pure talent up and down the lineup. But the Rays pitching staff is scary enough with Charlie Morton, Blake Snell, and Glasnow to really make a difference. Maybe even win the series as well, as some people do say that good pitching does lead to a good series win. But I wouldn't expect it really to happen here. I do think the Dodgers just, again, have too much power up and down the lineup. I think they have too much talent in the bullpen and in the pitching staff. And I would really expect the Dodgers to finally get it done in the World Series for the first time in a while and actually take down the Rays in Arlington, Texas. I want you guys to connect with me at Locked On Pirates and give your predictions on this 2020 World Series, as well as the Rule 5 draft, arbitration, etc. Again, the podcast the next 2 days will feature some special guests. I always like to keep it a secret to surprise you guys, and I hope you guys have a great rest of your Tuesday. Again, check out Built Bar, go get that 20% off, start eating a protein bar that tastes like a candy bar, guys, and you guys have a great rest of your day, okay? Enjoy that World Series tonight.